Hey y'all, life's journey is filled with change, growth, and exciting new chapters. Whether you're welcoming a new family member, stepping into a new city, or chasing after your biggest dreams, you need a ride that's built with more space for the grand challenges ahead. The Toyota Grand Highlander is made for those who embrace every twist and turn. With advanced safety features, innovative tech, and a bold, sophisticated design, it's the SUV that adapts with you with room to spare. This spacious beauty seats up to 8, gives you up to 97.5 cubic feet of cargo space, and has a diverse engine lineup, available in gas or hybrid options, including the powerful 362-horsepower Hybrid Max. Plus, available all-wheel drive means you'll have confidence no matter where life takes you. Ready to take on your dreams? The Grand Highlander is more than a vehicle. It's your partner in embracing all life throws at you. From daily routines to unexpected adventures, it's up for every grand challenge. Learn more at toyota.com/Grand Highlander. Toyota, let's go places.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
You know, in this ministry, one of the biggest burdens we've had is for the children. In fact, it is the biggest burden we have for the children. And we've been telling you that the entire time that Biden was in office, we were telling you he was taking his orders from the Red Chinese. He was told to keep the borders open, keep the fentanyl that they were sending to Mexico to keep it coming in and killing American children. Biden was on the payroll. This man should be tried for treason. But he was told to make sure that children were made available. They kept enough children, sex trafficking, enough children to supply the thirst for the appetite of the Democrats in this country, folks. I'm going to tell you, and not just all Democrats, there's some rhino Republicans involved, but the vast 90% of the Democrats out there, folks, in my opinion, the entire hierarchy are pedophiles. They're pedophiles. We've been telling you that. Now, since Trump's been in, the last I heard that they had found over 5,000 of those children returned them to their parents. And, of course, that's been a little while ago. And there may be, my guess is that they're working towards, you know, all of them. But that something should be taking place. People should be going to jail. People should be going to jail. They know who's doing this. And so, well, we have a clip to play. So listen clearly to this clip.
Well, RFK Jr. just admitted what we've been reporting for years here on this show, that the U.S. government was trafficking children. More than 350,000 children were sold off and trafficked for sex and slavery in the United States. Here's RFK just kind of casually dropping this in a cabinet meeting today. Watch.
We have ended HHS as the role, as the vector, the principal vector in this country for child trafficking. And during the Biden administration, HHS became a collaborator in child trafficking and for sex and for slavery. And we have ended that, and we're very aggressively going out and trying to find these children, the 300,000 children that were lost by the Biden administration.
I mean, what? Okay. HHS responsible for this. We also know the Department of Homeland Security as well. Maybe we'll hear more from that from Kristi Noem when she lets the cat out of that bag. But this is an unbelievable admission that the United States government, his own agency, he's got the documents to show, were helping to traffic hundreds of thousands of children south of the border into the United States, sold off for sex slavery, sex trafficking, and then killed. Independent journalist Ryan Mata has been trying to get answers about these missing children for years now. He's made it a mission. Of course, he's got multiple documentaries that you can check out, trafficked multiple. You've got so many now, I can't keep track of how many covering this story. It's so sad that you even have to do this work, for crying out loud. And I know you are just fed up. You are absolutely fed up. And I feel you, man. I feel you, brother, on this. Like, where are these children? Where are the 350,000 children we were told we were going to find them and we were going to get answers? And now we're 100 days later. So we've got good news and bad news, right? We got RFK admitting this. but we still don't know where these children are. So what did you make of RFK's comments, Ryan?
You know, Clayton, I'm finally excited to hear the Trump administration at least talking about it again, right? They campaigned on it for almost 2 years talking about these missing children. And I thought day one, I promised everybody there is no way that Trump takes office and on day one, we're not kicking in doors, right? We have this operation I've explained on your show, so I won't go into detail how it works. I have a lot of documentaries out there that you can watch. But when these children are being processed into this system, they are handed over to Border Patrol by the cartels, and the Border Patrol receives the child, and the children have a phone number or a name tag, kind of safety pinned to their shirt, or sometimes the cartels will even write a permanent marker on their arm, and they're writing a name, an address, and a phone number. Border Patrol processes that child, and when he's processing the child, he's putting that information by policy into the child's file as the sponsor. Then he calls HHS. HHS comes and picks up the child, takes him and does an initial intake screening at HHS. And they're vetting that adult. So they're trying to contact that sponsor. After they interview the child, they try to contact that sponsor and vet that sponsor. We'll call it vetting if you actually call it that. During that process, they're communicating via WhatsApp. So our government was in contact with every single adult that we delivered one of these children to for at least 14 days, sometimes months at a time. So our government had all of that geolocation data of every cell phone that was used to receive every single child. And some of these men have received up to like 30 or 40 children. So that means all that time they were communicating, you would have their trails, you would know where they went, you know where they lived, you know where they shop. We could go out right now, Clayton. I have a list of 8,000 addresses of every single one of these children, where they were delivered to. Me and you could go out tomorrow and probably find 100 of them like that. That so quick, Clayton, it would make your head spin. Even Alex Jones will admit it. In one day, you can go out and find 15 kids. No problem. Anthony Rubin and Carlos Arellano went door to door and were finding some of these children. So if our government wanted to, we could have brought all of these children that are still alive home already.
The report that HHS, let me follow up on that, because the report that HHS released last September did acknowledge that it had lost these 300,000 children. They knew of their existence and they sort of lost them into the ether, even though they had some information they could follow up on. And there were reports, this one's haunted me ever since, of, for instance, they went and checked on one of these addresses. They found this child. The woman said, "My husband is sexually abusing this child. You should take it away." And they had no recourse to do that. So they know where they are. They know who's being abused. And under the Biden administration, they could do nothing but walk away from a child that was being raped.
Some of these children are being found at homeless shelters. So they're escaping their captives and they're arriving at homeless shelters. And the homeless shelter is contacting HHS and trying to get HHS to take the kid back. And HHS is like, "Well, not our problem anymore." That's a true story.
So whose problem is it? What do we do when we find these children? Who has the legal authority to say, "You're out of here. Your days of being trafficked and raped are over"? Who can do that?
There is nobody. And our government shouldn't be that person. Our government has shown and proven that in no world should our government ever be responsible for handling children. No government organization should ever be allowed to do so. They've taken custody of 452,121 children ages 0 to 17 over the last 4 years. And they've vetted the adult sponsors that they delivered these children to and then delivered 350,000 of these children that they can no longer locate. And we know the horrors and what's happening to these children. Now, we do have a little bit of good news as far as the Trump administration, if you guys want to get into that, as far as decreasing the amount of children that are coming across the border. There's some really big things that we can get into as well.
Well, that's a big piece of this, right? You have to stop the bleeding first. Mm-hmm. So we've got to secure the border. We've got to stop the flow of these kids coming across the border. So where are we at with that?
So the biggest policy decision that nobody's talking about that has taken place under the Trump administration took place on March 14th of 2025, and that was the DNA testing expansion. Now, if you go to HHS's official website, this is actually active. So it sounds like, I haven't got any confirmation, but at the very least, it looks like we have re-implemented the DNA testing policy. So during the Biden administration, in his first day in office, he signed like 93 executive orders and completely obliterated every one of Trump's immigration policies, removing DNA testing from that. So that means that as these children were coming across during Trump's, I think this was in 2019 or 2018 when Trump implemented the DNA testing and they DNA tested the first batch of migrant children that were coming across that border, 47% were not the parents. That means these adults that were coming across these children, think about a trafficker with his hands on the shoulders of a child saying, "Yeah, you're my child, you're my child." And that kid looks up and goes, "Right. Yeah, I'm his child," right? and they would just release them. Well, now Trump implemented the DNA testing, which was instant, only took 45 minutes to DNA test these children. They can get the results. And I'm not saying every case was perfect and they got right back with their parents in 45 minutes. Not always the case. But I think the policy was that they had to do it within 72 hours or they could be sued. So almost every kid was DNA tested and they would know within 72 hours if that was the parent or not. And they would be reunited right back with the parent and then released into America. So Trump's policies have been re-implemented. Now, why is that so important? So we have talked about numbers on year over year.
I'm sorry. Why would the Biden administration stop doing that? They stopped it in 2023.
They're facilitating it.
What is the argument that they would put forth saying we should not check that these kids are with their own parents?
There was absolutely no argument. Just like when they're trying to convince you that men can get pregnant. It's just we can't have that conversation because there's no logic behind it. And when you remove that, what you're doing here, this whole immigration process was to destroy and collapse civilization in America. And the only way that you can do that is to continue to move these children. And you have to disappear them however you can, because the only two times that the border was ever shut down, it was once during COVID and then once under Obama. And that was when the children were piled up on the border and the media was down there and you were seeing kids laying in the dirt behind chain link fences with those, you know, those tinfoils like sleeping bags. And the media was so outraged and there was so much outrage, they had to shut down the border. So in order to keep this weaponized mass migration and funnel 30 million migrants into our country over the last 4 years, the children were just collateral damage. And then everybody started to go, oh, wow, the prison industrial complex saw this and goes, oh, wow, we can create a migrant child prison industrial complex and profit off these children just like we profit off the prisoners in America. And that's what you've seen playing out here.
Well, I mean, let's talk about some of these centers, because at the beginning you said, like, you know, Clayton, you and I, we know where these people are. We could just go and grab a whole bunch of these kids right now and rescue them. We know, and we've covered here on the show, Carlos Arellano and others, where these massive facilities are, these former Walmart facilities that are now used as, like, you know, trafficking centers where these children are, like, rounded up, kept, and then they're facilitated and sent out on flights, delivered across the United States, and all facilitated through these NGOs backed by the Biden administration. So we know in Texas, for instance, you know, Greg Abbott loves to put on a good face. We know in Texas where these units are, these centers are. Why is the Trump administration not swooping in and closing these things down where thousands of children are currently, right now, as you and I talk, are being kept in Texas?
Clayton, that is probably the million-dollar question. There's 290 of them under OR's care. So across the United States, I think in 39 states, there's 290 of these facilities that hold these migrant children. When I flew into Brownsville, Texas, and you were the first network to break that story on these child detention facilities. When I landed at the Brownsville Walmart to go drone these with Carlos, within 15 minutes of landing at the Brownsville Airport, he took me to five, Clayton. The largest one was a Walmart that holds, their capacity was like 1,100 or 1,200. There was 2,000 boys in there. Picture Walmart on its busiest day, like Christmas Eve, where you can't even park in the parking lot. This parking lot was that jam-packed. You guys saw the videos. You played it on your show. Every spot in the entire parking lot was filled. And these kids aren't driving themselves. Those are just the employees that were working inside that Walmart that took up every single parking lot in Walmart. And they have an overflow parking lot in the back that was solidly full as well. From there, I went to a girls facility that held 600 girls ages 0 to 12. That was one where they had the giant pole barn looking facility. And Carlos is like, oh, yeah, that's cribs as far as the eye can see. Just 60 cribs, one after another, with only three employees taking care of 60 crying little babies in these cribs. He said it was a nightmare. Anytime that he had to go pick up children from that facility, he'd get a text being like, oh, you're going to the Donna facility or whatever the name of that facility was. And he'd be like, oh, man, we'd all be like dreading, like trying to text the other coworkers like, hey, can you take my shift today? Because nobody wanted to go. Because if you were picking somebody up from that facility, it meant you were most likely picking up a child, an infant. And then they were going to have to traffic this infant across state lines without a car seat, without diapers, without formula, without food. And he would have these babies for like 18 hours without any necessity. And JJ goes, Carlos, how would you... the kid's crying. He's in diapers. How do you change him? You have to change a kid like eight times a day. And Carlos goes, I know, it was so uncomfortable because by the time we'd get the baby to the final destination, it was screaming in agony and pain because it was sitting in its own urine and feces for 18 hours while that poop's burning his butt. And he's screaming and everybody's looking at Carlos like, why does this giant chubby Mexican dude have an Asian little baby that's screaming his head off and he doesn't look like a father? Right? These are the conditions, and we're trafficking these children across state lines. Then I went to another facility that held boys ages 0 to 17, that held 400 boys, another facility that held girls ages 13 to 17. And the really weird ones are the ones that are children ages 13 to 17. They're always the smaller facilities with a 50 to 100 person capacity, and it's boys and girls. Why are they mixing migrant boys and girls in one facility. They're always the small facilities that have the minimal amount of staff. And you're putting children that have, you know, 80% have been sexually assaulted. They're very hyper-sexualized. And you're putting them in a facility together with minimal staff. What do you think is going to happen in those facilities?
Now, we had whistleblowers on this show from Health and Human Services that said, this is what's happening. We had whistleblowers all for the last four or five years. Where's the Justice Department on this? Why are they not, you know, following these whistleblowers, prosecuting anybody who was complicit inside the U.S. government?
Natalie, I'm so glad you asked. So this got so out of hand that Merrick Garland's DOJ had to open and file a lawsuit against Southwest Key Programs. If I were to read that on your show, this episode would get taken down. If I just read off what happened to the children inside these facilities that was happening to them by the staff members, we're talking about 4, 5, 6-year-old girls being R-worded by the staff members in these facilities. And if I just read you the lawsuit against all of the employees at every different facility, we're talking about 30 or 40 different facilities. It would take me a half hour.
Are we talking about NGOs or government employees?
Yes, we are talking about Southwest Key Programs. The Merrick Garland filed a lawsuit against Southwest Key Programs. They're the largest one of these child traffickers. Facility that me and Clayton just talked about are all ran by Southwest Key Programs. So the employees were raping these children inside these facilities, and Merrick Garland's DOJ had to bring a lawsuit against them. Well, on March 14th of 2025, about one month and 10 days into Pam Bondi's administration, they decided to drop this lawsuit. Now, nobody's been able to explain to me why in any reality you would drop a lawsuit against Southwest Key Programs. But when they did, this was an official statement by HHS that They determined that Southwest Key Programs would no longer ever be allowed to get children again. And that was why they were going to drop the lawsuit, because they were no longer receiving children. For some odd reason, they weren't going to hold them accountable for allowing what happened to the children in their facilities. But Pam Bondi's DOJ dropped that lawsuit. And then about 4 days ago, I get a message from Bonnie. She's one of the number one world leading experts on child trafficking. And she says, you're not going to believe this. They just sent out an email to Southwest Key employees in Brownsville, Texas, that they were to return to work at Casa Padre. That was one of the big facilities that we droned to do a fall. They're returning from their furlough that took place in March, and they're going to go through additional ORR required training purposes starting on April 24th of 2025. So this took place like 6 days ago. These same Southwest Key employees, not the ones that were actually busted, but you know, only 10% of cases get reported. So how many of these employees were taking advantage and molesting these children and now are being brought back into work? Why would you be bringing employees like this back to work and giving them additional training and telling the ones, here's the kicker, that specific employees who qualify are now going to receive health benefits and a 401k with contributions from their employer? Why would you be bringing employees back and giving them raises if you didn't plan to bring children back and put children in those facilities?
Yeah. So what are you saying? That the Biden or the new Trump administration is so allowing this to happen again?
I'm saying that in order to actually give these children, if we go out and save 300,000 children, where are we going to put them? Bonnie, one of the world's leading experts, says that just to build the facilities and train the staff, you're talking about 6 to 12 months out. And she's like nose to the grindstone on this stuff. She's very well aware of what's going on. She says that there is nothing in the works. So she thinks that they're going to try to magically redeem Southwest Key Programs and like rebrand their image and then start going and claiming that we're rescuing these children by putting them back into Southwest Key's care.
Okay. Well, Ryan Mehta, thank you for bringing us this story. It's absolutely bonkers. And we need to stay on top of it, because it's not enough to just say, we know that there are these 300,000 children. We knew that from the Biden administration. They flat out released a report. We know that number is very conservative. It's probably twice that. And then for RFK Jr. to say, that's over now. It's done now. We don't do that anymore. Obviously that's not enough. We need to continue to follow this. So that's why you can follow Ryan Mehta and all of, he posts his documentaries on X and other places. So good to see you as always.
God bless. Thank you.
All righty. We are back. Am I back?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay, we're back. All righty. All right, very good. Well, you see, this is what we've been talking about, you know, for entire
years.
Time. Over and over and over, but you see, Now there's somebody in there that can do it. This is why we got to keep talking about it. We got to keep talking about it until, you know, I don't, this doesn't make sense to me. You know, Bonnie's is like, they got to do something, but it's like, she's acting like she really doesn't have the authority to do anything. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't want to just kind of poo-poo the decisions that are being made right now, because I feel like they're doing the best they can with what they have available to do. So like what they were saying at the end there of kind of trying to rebrand that image of, well, hopefully that there's a better vetting process for the workers. Hopefully they're being watched more carefully, and nothing like that could happen. I mean, they've, like they said, they've got to, if they find these children, they've got to have some place to put them. You know, they can't just, I mean, what are they going to do with them? They've got to have facilities where they can put these children until they can reunite them with families. So that, I mean, they've got to do something. It's got to be done correctly, and it's not going to be an easy overnight fix, unfortunately.
Well, you know, this is what the government is very, very good at, is making temporary housing, temporary shelters. I mean, that you can do that. We could do that, okay?
Yeah, we can. It's just, it's not something that is going to happen overnight. You know, I mean, there's ways to do things. Obviously, we have a lot of hotels that have been housing illegal immigrants for how long? You know, I mean, maybe we free up some of that, you know, a little bit with some of these deportations, and hopefully a lot of people will take advantage of the self-deportation, which is another thing that has come out that Trump's, I don't know if it's actually in effect yet, but he floated out there of, you know, maybe an incentivizing $1,000 for anyone and a plane ticket to send them back home. $1,000 and a plane ticket to go back home, and then we could work on getting you back here the right way. I like that idea, because, I mean, how much does it take to hunt them down and deport them anyways?
Well, by giving them, it comes out to about altogether about $4,700, about $4,700 to buy them the ticket. You know, this is an average, to give them the ticket and give them $1,000, you know, traveling money to go back home. Now, mm-hmm. To deport them the way that we've been doing, and the other way comes out, you know, if you try doing it the way that they have been doing it, it comes out to about $17,000.
Yeah, and so this is, I mean, it's not ideal, because it doesn't sound right to be paying someone who illegally came into the country to pay them to go back home. But when it all boils down to it, it really is the cheaper route. And
about 70% cheaper.
It's the cheaper route. And if you can get a lot of people to do this, then that takes away a lot of the work that has to be done to find them, hunt them down, capture them, and then deport them. And if they'll willingly do it themselves, then hey, maybe those are some of the good eggs that we want back in our country, you know, that, you know, could contribute.
Yeah, well, you're right. If those that are willing to do it, or those that are legitimate, like, you know, some of those that are Christians, if they're leading, because right now there's been a whole lot of Christians being... They're going after Christians, especially like right now today in Russia. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of those illegals actually come from Russia. But you got it, North Korea, a lot of these countries where just being a Christian, you know, is all you have to be for the persecution to come. And, you know, this is strange, too, for Putin to do this at this time. I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense for him to do that.
No, and there's the reports of how many Chinese nationals are here now, whether or not they're spies or not, or, you know, they're of military age, you know, maybe they're sleeper cells, or maybe they just escaped, you know, to where if they do go back, they're dead, you know? So, I mean, there's that you have to consider as well.
Well, you make a point. Now, they knew that there was at least 50,000 Chinese nationals, which were they believed to be military. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And that they were sent here for, you know, when the time, if Biden was to get reelected, or when the time works out to use them against the American people. Biden was working with the Chinese. Biden was a traitor. He committed high treason. The whole family, many of those in the whole Democratic Communist Party, are treasonous.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you're right, because a lot of those people, those that probably came here, those soldiers, didn't want to go back home.
No. Yeah. No, you wouldn't want to go back either.
Right.
Regardless on how you got here or why you got here, or whatever the reason was, once you got here, you wouldn't want to go back there.
Well, there's things happening in China right now, too, with their economy is really bad, but Chinese, this is from the Epoch Times this week, Epoch Times today. Chinese military purges may hint an unraveling of the Chinese Communist Party.
Mm.
Despite securing ever greater nominal authority over the levers of power in the Communist China, Chinese leader Xi Jinping appears to be facing interactable and growing challenges from within the regime itself. Over recent years and months, several top officers in China's People's Liberation Army have been investigated for corruption. They must be Democrats.
It's the same party.
Yeah, it is the same party. They've been removed from their posts or have vanished from public view, while the Chinese Communist Party has pursued a nationwide anti-corruption campaign since Xi took office in 2013. The recent disciplinary actions have drawn attention, given that those targeted are not factional rivals of the Chinese leader, but his close lieutenants. For example, former Defense Minister Lai Xingwu, who lost his job in October, was expelled from the Chinese Communist Party. A lot of those people just end up missing, don't they?
Yeah.
And the economy in China now is really bad. Trump has got them. Trump actually got them right by the throat, in a sense. Trump can make a deal and with China, say, look, we can both benefit. You drop your tariffs and you'll have all kinds of food there. See, that's what the people want. They want food. They really want food. There's people starving to death. But, you know, when it talks about corruption, how much more corrupt can you possibly be than to use people for, you know, organ harvesting,
mm-hmm.
Just because of their faith, to use them for organ harvesting? And that's what they do a lot there.
Okay? Yeah. It's sad. And if they are... If their government is in shambles and their economy is in shambles the way it is, they're not going to go down without fighting. And that can get very ugly very quickly over there.
See, one of the problems they have in China, for years and years and years, they were killing baby girls were aborted, mm-hmm. 6 to 7 to 1 over the boys, okay? And so there's a real shortage of women, you know, for the men there in China.
Mm-hmm.
And so these guys that left here come over here, you know, here in America, we have more women than men.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the reasons they might want to stay here. You know?
There's plenty of reasons why they would want to stay, you know, whether or not. And again, it kind of all depends on why they're here, you know, and what motivated them to get here, how they got here. Like I said, if they actually escaped from China and got here, they're not going to want to go back by any means. And if we try to force them back and they do end up going back, they're dead, you know? So, I mean, that's one thing we have to consider. Another thing is, too, is, you know, maybe they're here as a spy. Maybe maybe we can send him back as a double agent also. You know, I mean, who knows? There's lots of possibilities.
Hmm. My, aren't you the sly one? But, you know, Marco Rubio confirms Biden's State Department targeted specific Americans.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't like. No kidding, Marco.
Yeah.
Remember the J6ers, Marco? Remember the pro-lifers, Marco? Remember the homeschoolers, Marco?
Yeah, newsflash.
Yeah, newsflash. But he says that it's not a shocker anymore, as there's been a lot of evidence that Joe Biden's administration wanted and was actively working on plans to target individual Americans that Democrats disliked for censorship and possibly worse.
Yep.
But Secretary of State Marco Rubio now has confirmed exactly that. In fact, he said that during a cabinet meeting Wednesday, he had an office in the Department of State whose job it was to censor Americans. This is nuts, Secretary Rubio announced, that he found dozens and dozens of files kept by Joe Biden's State Department that classified American citizens as vectors of disinformation. You don't think he's talking about our radio program, do you?
No, I'm sure you were on that list.
Yeah. With intentions of censoring them, that's not all, Rubio says. And there's someone in pick. He's talking about someone right in there in that cabinet meeting, okay, and he gives a website that had, there was a file on that person that was sitting there with him. Mm-hmm. And so he goes on, Secretary of State Rubio announced he located dossiers created by the Biden regime with the intent to censor these Americans. And there was at least one person at this table today who had a dossier in them, in that building. And so,
is that Tulsi?
He doesn't give the name who it is, but he says this was blackmail, and he goes on and he gives a website, pic.twitter.com/myijzkddo. I don't know who that could possibly be. But anyhow, he reports reveals that Biden's State Department created dossiers with full intentions of spying on the content and censoring Americans' free speech. Okay, and so there you go. We kind of knew that, didn't we?
Yeah, that was, like I said, newsflash. Yeah, that was blatantly obvious.
Well, some of the other things blatantly obvious. White House issues warning to Dems promoting barbaric child sex changes. You know, the Democrats, with everything that's decent, they're fighting us on, and they got these corrupt black-robed prostitutes that they call judge, okay? Mm-hmm. And the Bible calls them whores. They're, you know, again, everything that they're trying to stop from, we're in a war right now. This is a civil war in this country.
Yeah.
And, you know, we, it's on our side, the free Americans, on the other side, the left. And again, they're openly working. Look, the Democratic, the drug cartels are a part of the Democratic Party. The drug cartels, MS-13 is a part of the Democratic Party. Hang tight, we'll be back after this. When your world has come unglued and you don't know what to do, remember God, He's the one that made you. When the world has put you down and your life is one big frown, remember Him, He's the one who loves you. And through all kinds of trouble, you'll find you'll never change. Through the good times and the sorrows, Almighty God is still His name. When you've been done all wrong and you need someone who's strong, remember Him, He's the one who loves you. times of trouble you'll find you'll never change. When the world has found you guilty, he'll take away the blame.
Away the blame.
He's always right. He's never wrong. He'll make your troubles all be gone. Remember him. He's the one who loves you. 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 Remember him. He's the one who died for you. Alrighty, we are back. And, you know, I got to remind the folks, they really should get our newsletter because we have all kinds of information out there. I mean, very, very informative information, things that, you know, a lot of times when, you know, we're saying things here or people will be listening to us and they'll be telling a friend, oh, I don't believe it, okay? And they say, well, I heard it, but, you know, well, I don't see any documentation. Boy, it's good to have the documentation with you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, well, take a look at this. Check it out, okay? And, again, that's what we do. We give you so you can hold it up. And, you know, what's really happened, all that information we gave out, especially, and we gave a lot of it on COVID. Boy, I'm going to tell you, now, I mean, this is the things that's coming out now is things that we said 4 years ago,
yep.
5 years ago. You know, we told you it was happening, what was going on, and now a lot of it just, you know, surfaces where people are talking about it, and people like this Fauci, you know, Fauci was involved in some very heinous things, okay, and he was involved, too, with the child sex trafficking, and so people need to, all of this stuff needs to come out, and that's why, folks, you really ought to make sure you get our newsletter. Get on the list. You can either go to our website, wrwl.org, or you can call and very, very, very clearly leave your name or address. The best way to do it is just send a postcard or a letter just requesting the newsletter with very clear, with your name and address very clearly. Because even sometimes on the phone, you know, we don't get the correct spelling. And if you do that, if you just send a little card or a little letter, a little note, very clearly name and address and your phone number written out there.
Yeah, it's got to be legible, though, because if it's like sloppy chicken scratch, that's going to do no one any good. Like, take your time and write it the way you used to back in grade school.
Well, most people, you know, they have these little return address stickers they put on with
that helps spelling. A lot.
That does help a whole lot. But you know what's an amazing thing is, and, you know, I've been doing radio, you know, for half a century, and I have never seen, like so far this year so far, so many people moving or changing their address or losing their homes. You know, we have had more people this, I've never seen this many where, you know, people no longer live here, no, you know. Well, of course, we know a lot of these people have been deceased, too. We get a lot of notices the deceased. But here, you know, as far as people losing their homes out there, one of the reasons they're losing their homes is what we've been talking about. They've not just in Ohio. Ohio's a bad one. They're raising property taxes. The way they're doing it is not lawfully the way they're doing it. They're doing it. It's not, and we have to stand up against this stuff. We really got to fight it, okay?
Yeah.
And
if you don't fight, it's going to continue.
Yeah, and property taxes are not a lawful tax to begin with.
No.
And so we you're right. We got to fight this thing. You know, we really got to fight this thing. Alrighty. So anyhow, the Department of Justice is fighting child abuse in America's schools in the form of radical gender ideology. I said White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller at a press conference, and boy, I'm going to tell you, he really laid it out. In fact, we played a clip of him here. It is child abuse to change a child's gender, particularly if you do not inform the parent, Miller said. So, if there was a 5-year-old or 6-year-old that goes to school, or a 7-year-old that goes to school, and the teacher tries to turn the boy into a girl and a girl into the boy, that is child abuse. Absolutely.
100%.
Yes. And this regime, or this administration, is treating that as child abuse, as gross violation of parental rights. With the Biden regime, whatever they had the word administration, I used to replace it with a regime, but I'm not going to do that with Trump because Trump's doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. The Department of Education is working with the Department of Justice to investigate school districts that promote gender ideology, their policies of hiding from parents if their children choose to identify as another gender, and whether they are allowing males to compete in female sports and use female spaces such as bathrooms and locker rooms. And, you know, it's an amazing thing. I was listening to some of these congresswomen, these women, these Democrats, and they were saying that these women, these female athletes, quit your whining. If you can't compete with the males, that just shows you're admitting you're inferior. Boy, I'm going to tell you, they're supposed to be for women. This
unbelievable.
It is. And after all these years of telling, after all these years of trying to convince these women that there's no difference between men and women, so they get out there now, because it used to be women weren't that active in sports. So they get out there and they get active in the sports and they find themselves going up against men. Then they realize there's a big difference, huh?
Yeah. Now, I've said it for years. Like back, even when I was younger, and the women's, not women's rights, but like equality, whatever, I can do anything a man can do, whatever. When that was like getting... Maybe it was bigger when before I was younger, but maybe before my time. But I've said it for years. I said, if there's no difference between a man and a woman, why do we have men's basketball and women's basketball? If there's no difference, then they should be playing on the same team, and then we'll see who's actually better. And once it actually started happening, the absurdity of it is insane.
Yeah,
you still you. Get a guy out there looking like LeBron James playing basketball with these girls, and what do you think's going to happen?
Well, here's the strange thing. The left promotes these drag queens, and here, for these, and what's happening is these drag queens are simply making a mockery of women.
They are. They really are.
It's so... You kind of wonder, you would think, that maybe Nancy Pelosi or Mad Maxine Waters, whatever, might be figure things out, hey, maybe some of these drag queens look a lot like you, huh?
Well, you see, the thing is, too, that really, like, they do themselves no favors because they're men dressing up as women, but they're not trying to be classy or anything. They're dressing up as whores, they're trying to be a woman, but they're not trying to be a woman. They're trying to be a whore. They're dressing up like a hooker. They're not dressing up like a classy woman. If they were doing that, maybe the average person might not frown upon it as much. But no, they're out there with barely any clothes on, this giant wig and a ton of makeup, that's not even appealing if you were actually a woman, what they're wearing on top of it. It's making a complete mockery out of women.
You know, it's just, again, we get it to that somewhere. Remember, you know, well, I won't go there now. I was just going to say, it's just, it's, well, I'm going to tell you, you know, they're not big on smarts, okay?
No, they're not.
And Scripture tells you in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2, that the wise man turns towards his right, but a fool will turn towards the left.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are all being done by the left, which means they're all being done by fools, huh?
Yep, 100%.
That's interesting. Well, you know what time it is, don't you?
Yeah, it's... Oh, are you going for the invitation already?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean we have... I didn't know, because we got like 9 minutes left. Sometimes you wait a little bit.
That would... What, you want to do one more article?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we've got Randy called in if you wanted to take a call.
Okay, I can take one quick call with Randy. Go ahead, Randy.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
What you're speaking of? The illegal immigrants, they're not immigrants, they're illegal aliens. My brother and I spoke about it today. You know what his answer is? He said, cut them off. No Social Security, no medical benefits, no food benefits. They'll all go back to their country because they'll have nothing. What do you think of that answer? Instead of deporting, spending money, and waiting 10, 20 years. What do you think of that?
Well, that's exactly what Trump is doing. Trump has given them an option to go back home. You know, they came here because things where they were living were not good, but they didn't come here legally. They didn't do it the right way. And right. So he's given them an option now. He's given them free plane ride and a nice plane ride home, but he's given them $1,000. Now, $1,000 of American money here in some of these countries is like $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 in their country. And that gives them...
There's 50 million illegal immigrants, 50 million that came over, right?
Well, during the Biden time, there was 20 million, okay?
20? Okay.
Yeah, that they knew of. But, you know, prior to that, throughout the years, I mean, I'm going all the way back to Jimmy Carter, you know, we had probably about 20,000 or 20 million come in, you know.
Yeah, I've been here since 73. Go ahead. Yeah.
So, but Biden, what Biden did, Biden purposely brought him in. He brought in gangs. He brought in the enemy. Biden was the enemy. He was a Trojan horse. He was the enemy.
Yes, sir.
And the entire Democratic Communist Party. Now, today,
the illegal mafia. Yeah.
They're working. AOC is giving classes on how, for drug dealers, for MS-13. These drug dealers in MS-13, these people are all a part. They're a regular part of the Democratic Communist Party.
True. So,
anyhow, all righty, I'm going to have to move on because it's time for me to give the invitation. All righty, thanks. So, hey, Ken, what if you died today? You know what? You could be having a slight pain in your chest.
It could happen in an instant.
Within a few hours, you could be dead, a heart attack, or brain hemorrhage. You might think that could never happen to you. However, the Bible states, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, for an instant, and then vanishes away. James 4:14. Now, even if you are in excellent health, you could be killed in an auto accident today.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the shock you felt the last time you heard someone you knew was killed in an accident?
Yeah.
They certainly never thought that death would come so suddenly.
No, he's my age a couple of years ago with my buddy.
Perhaps these will be the last words you will ever read, right? You cannot escape death. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Maybe you're thinking, well, if I would die today, I'm ready to go. After all, I've never done anything really bad, and I guess my good will outweigh my bad when it come down to it. Well, I don't believe that a merciful God would send me to hell. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, Revelation 21:8. According to God's word, it does matter. It matters a lot. It matters how good you are. It does not matter how good you are. You deserve, according to the word of God, to burn in the lake of fire forever and ever if you're an unrepentant sinner. That's right. However, there is good news. God provides a way of escape because he's given you a Savior. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Romans 6:23. Your God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So stop for a moment and just think about the last verse once again. How does the Bible say that you can have everlasting life? It does not say that you can have everlasting life by trusting in some church or some saint. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. The Bible does not say you can have everlasting life by doing good works, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. You can only get everlasting life by completely trusting Jesus. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3:36. Why don't you admit to God that you are an hell-bound sinner? Admit to him that you are willing to turn from your sinful life. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you will do that with a sincere heart, God's word says that you can know for sure that you have eternal life. These things I have written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:13. This is not a coincidence that you're reading, that I'm reading this gospel tract tonight. God planned for you to read it. And God planned for you folks out there that are listening to hear this tonight. That's right. I'm just a messenger. God's speaking to you. Will you reject Jesus? The Bible states, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:18. When you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, remember salvation does not depend on feelings or on emotional or experience. It's based on what God has promised. In the Word, God promised, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Did I hear 30? Well, we're out of time for tonight, folks. So, as we say at this time every night, thanks for being here. Good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, ready? Keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Fight. Fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.